Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
This is the Soundcheck Podcast from WNYC, made on Varick Street.
As the Brooklyn-based band The National has steadily gained in popularity, fame, and acclaim, it was only a matter of time before they got their own rockumentary. But the new film about the band, Mistaken for Strangers, ended up not really being about The National at all. Instead, it revolves around the filmmaker, the younger brother of the band's lead singer. What we're left with isn't a documentary about a rock band, but a funny, poignant, and sometimes uncomfortable look at family. Joining me to talk about Mistaken for Strangers are the filmmaker, Tom Berninger. Tom, welcome.
Thank you very much.
And his big brother, Matt.
Hello.
Lead singer of The National. Good to see you again, Matt.
Likewise.
We might as well start the way your film starts, Tom, getting a little bit of the flavor of the back and forth between
what,
the
him
two
yelling
of you.
At me?
I wasn't yelling.
We were just yelling 2 minutes ago.
I was commenting on you. Forcefully.
Your commenting is loud.
That's right.
Well, that is sort of how the film starts. Here, listen to this. This is the beginning. It's Matt sitting in a lawn chair in Prospect Park. Tom is behind the camera, and we hear Tom's voice first asking questions.
Do you ever get, on tour, it's day in and day out. Do you ever get, does that ever make you sleepy on stage, retired? Tired on stage? That's my question. Question number one, that is that. Ever woken up in a nightmare on a bus because the movement? What kind of nightmares have people talked about?
Don't act like it's a dumb question. I'm following up on my first question.
Do you have a notebook with questions written down that you like, do you have any kind of organization and plan for this film?
Tom, did you have a plan?
Yeah, well, I honestly think those are pretty good questions. I mean, honestly, who doesn't? I want to start a show called Celebrity Nightmares. Like, what do celebrities like dream about?
Yeah,
that's the cool thing.
Well, at least Matt, those are questions that interviewers haven't asked
that's
you
true.
Hundreds of times
that is
before.
True. I did. I was frustrated that he was ill prepared as a proper sort of journalist or documentarian, but ultimately. Now the thing, I think those actually aren't as bad of questions as I thought at the time. They're kind of, they're almost more interesting than the normal questions.
Yeah. Now, how did this film come about? Because, Tom, you were not hired as a documentarian, and Matt, you guys already have your offbeat documentary, the Vincent Moon film.
Yeah, we had a documentary that was more just like a in-studio sort of art film by Vincent Moon. But we were not in the market for any new documentary at all. And the reason I asked Tom to join us on tour was one, I wanted him around. He's 9 years younger, and I went off to college when he was a little kid. Then I moved to New York, and so I hadn't seen a ton of him. Mm. That's one reason. And he was living in my parents' house in Cincinnati.
I was in between jobs.
I know. I'm just saying. I thought it would be good for you to get out of Cincinnati and see Europe, and you needed a job.
Yeah.
And how did you feel when he showed up with a camera?
The truth is, I said you can bring a camera along and maybe make some sort of stuff for our website, or maybe you could make a little video. It was not to make a feature documentary, that's for sure.
So you were hired to do like assistant road manager, tour manager kind of stuff, mm-hmm. right? And spoiler alert, that does not work out so well.
Well, it's actually, it didn't. I mean, I thought I did an okay job, but my job was to obviously make sure there's enough beer and water, basically water on the bus, like make sure these guys are not like dying,
It was more complicated than just
well, yeah,
that.
Yeah, I don't know. I wanted to make some. I wanted to make a music video or something, and I kind of got the camera got in the way of my job a little bit.
There are also many scenes where someone else is clearly filming you.
Mm-hmm.
One of the turning points is in a brief career as an assistant tour manager is the tour manager is saying, did you get the water?
did you get the towels? And you're like, yep, yep, got all that, check. Mm-hmm. Then we see you running down the hall going, I need some water, I need some towels.
Yeah, almost the whole movie was shot in one camera, very little like coverage, mm-hmm. as they say. And when I had a friend in town that I either went to film school with or a friend of a friend that is like, do you mind filming me just like running around getting yelled at and doing my job? Because I think in the back of my mind that like, I think this is fun. Like maybe this comes from the roadie point of view. I want to do a roadie movie. So that's why you do see only a couple times you see me on camera. But really, the times you do see me on camera and not behind the camera, that's all I had of me. There's very little.
Mm-hmm. So you're fired from the tour because the camera stuff is getting in the way. And
that's what they said.
Well, you know, there's one of the shots that we see. It's clearly late at night, everyone is asleep, and you, with your camera, are pulling back the little curtains on the bus and showing us each of the members of the National asleep.
Yeah.
Which could be taken as a kind of charming, you know, very sort of...
or very invasive.
Or very creepy and invasive, yeah. Exactly.
Well, I thought, here's the honest truth. That was the first time I ever thought, and that was kind of towards later in tour, that was the first time I ever thought that maybe this is kind of cool. Because if you're on a tour bus, if you're ever lucky enough to get on one of these tour buses, where you sleep, it looks like coffins. You look like you're like in these little like coffin compartments with like little frilly curtains that you close, and you look like you're dead. And it's like, it's to me, I love horror movies and I love that kind of morbid stuff. And I just wanted to show the band members in these weird, like the National, in these weird coffin things, kind of like I killed them off or something.
Yeah.
Like I killed my own brother. And I mean, in that I don't want to kill the band. But like I love the idea of seeing these guys kind of all looking like they're in these catacomb looking things.
That was the first time you thought you might wanted to make a movie too, right?
Yeah, and the first time like if
a horror movie,
some sort of weird, something weird. Yeah, the first idea that like I've never seen a movie with like rock stars sleeping, especially in these weird things.
Of course, there's the question of. You didn't wake them to ask permission first, so...
Brian was awake. Well, I think Brian was awake. He's got his glasses on. He had to be awake. Uh-huh. He doesn't sleep.
He didn't yell at me.
All right. Now, Brian and Scott are brothers. Aaron and Bryce are twins. And that leads us to this clip from the film, Mistaken for Strangers, in which Matt is doing a radio interview before the National heads out on tour.
You guys are a band of brothers, two sets of brothers. But then there's you, Matt. You're the guy in the band who doesn't have a brother.
I do have a brother, but he's like 9 years younger and lives in Cincinnati. But
what does your brother think of the band?
That's a good question. I don't think he does think of it that much, actually. He's more of a metalhead. I think he thinks indie rock's pretty good, pretentious bullshit.
Well, that's Matt. Matt Berninger with Jesse Thorne.
I was talking to Jesse Thorne, yeah.
Doing the interview.
Of Bullseye.
And Tom Berninger here as well, who made the film called Mistaken for Strangers, supposed to be about the National, really is about Matt and Tom, and they're here with me in the Soundcheck studio. So, Tom, did you think about the National? Did you listen to the band before going out on this tour?
No, not really.
Okay.
I'm not a big indie rock fan.
And Matt... Had you seen any of Tom's films before?
I had. I saw all of them. He's got three short films. One's a barbarian thing.
There's more to it. It's a barbarian with an identity crisis.
Yep, I know. And then another one's about a trapper who kills a lot of people. A lot of blood. And then another one's like a Johnny Appleseed weird romance with you just put a pot on your friend's head and make him walk around in the woods. I've seen all Tom's wonderful films.
There is a great shot of Bryce Dessner, one of the twin guitarists in the National, and Tom, you are showing him one of your movies.
Mm-hmm. That's Wages of Sin.
Which is just full of blood and guts. And Bryce, who is one of the chillest people I know, you zoom in on his eyes, and he's got like this wide-eyed WTF response to what you're showing him.
Well, I no comment is good comment. He didn't say anything. He was just...
That's not true, Tom. No comment.
I thought he... it was supposed to be scary and shocking. That's why I made the movie. I thought it was a proper reaction. Like, I swear he's never forgotten about it.
Yeah, I think he was just worried. It wasn't that he didn't like that movie you made. I think he was just worried that you were the one making a movie about the band at that point.
Well, I took that
and,
that
and whole, sleeping on the same bus as him.
Yeah,
that whole battle sequence that he watched took a long time to film.
Yeah.
All right, Tom and Matt Berninger with me on Soundcheck. Tom is the maker of the film Mistaken for Strangers, which is now in select theaters, on demand, and iTunes. Matt, of course, lead singer of The National. And in that Jesse Thorne interview, he says, Matt, you're the one without a brother, which is such a curious turn of phrase. As you immediately point out, you do have a brother, but you're 9 years apart. So what was your relationship before this, and did it change during this process?
It did. I mean, we've always been close. I mean, we bicker and fight a lot. But he was 9 years younger. He was always, we didn't have a relationship like some brothers and the other guys in the band. They're close in age, and they fight in sometimes different ways. And so growing up, when Tom was little, I don't want to speak for you, but you looked up to me in a weird way. Like I was like an idol, or in a funny way. And I was. You know, I would bring home like movies and stuff for Tom when he was little, and I let him watch like, you know, I worked at a video store, and I was bringing home Terminator and Predator and Ghostbusters and
so then let's
with
not
Tom.
Be surprised at how his movies turned.
No,
out.
Yeah, and so weirdly, when he's 9 years old, I leave and go off to college, and that's I kind of left him there with
to be honest. Yeah, I mean, you went off. Matt was a great older brother. I mean, he showed me all these great sci-fi action movies. And but when he left, I felt when I kind of got out of my teens, like, and into my early 20s, you know, Matt still liked those movies that he showed me, but he was much more into The Graduate. And look, I know The Graduate is a good movie, but it's just not my thing. Mm-hmm. And I kind of felt slightly betrayed that, like, and I know it's just we just grew apart, but like. It got harder to talk about movies with him because he
had different tastes.
We totally had different tastes, and I felt like he led me down a path that I just kept going, and he just went a different path. And
that happens with this movie because Tom, you're going down a path, and Matt, we see you kind of wrestling Tom, you know, away from this kind of trackless wilderness he's going through and trying to get him to actually focus and do something with the movie.
Uh-huh.
At what point did you think to yourself, I got to step in here. I got to, you know, say something.
When Tom was on tour with us, I wanted him to shoot stuff and film and make something out of it. And then when he gets fired from the tour for good reason, he got fired.
Spoiler alert! Thanks.
Well, I think I've already done that.
But and you know, I didn't want him to go back to Cincinnati. I wanted him to try to make something out of this stuff. And I didn't. It didn't matter that much if it was just some little you know bits and pieces that we put on our website or even he put together one like collage-y video which I really love. I wanted him to make something, and it didn't matter to me how good it was. It was just that if he would just finish it and stick with it and make something, and that was all. Because I think sometimes the thing I would always get the most frustrated with Tom is that sometimes he would throw in the towel. He would throw in the towel when it looked like it wasn't going to be as good as he was hoping, and so he would give up on a lot of things, and that becomes part of the movie too. But I had never expected it to turn into as interesting and as good a thing that he did, I think.
Yeah. And your mom, Tom, there's a clip of your mom basically saying what Matt just said, that, you know, you gotta finish something. You have to stick to it.
Mm-hmm.
Speaking of your parents, there's a very telling shot in the film where your mom is showing you your artwork on the wall next to Matt's artwork.
Mine's so much better, I must say.
Let's listen in.
This was Matt's art, which is very abstract and minimal.
This one?
And this is all your work. Take some shots of that. I think that's really cool.
Yeah, this is pretty good.
Yeah, this is great. This is the type of work you did. Really wonderful. What's this guy doing? Is he sawing
He's making a leg near an empty creek. And then he's dreaming about new legs. And then same guy in a school bus, and he's thinking about eating a leg.
What's not to love about that?
Yeah.
Oh, that is one supportive mom you got there. Yeah. What's not to love about the guy who's dreaming about legs and eating legs? And
there's actually a lot not to love about that. Well, mom always saw the bright side of your art.
Now, Matt, what I found most striking about that was your art piece next to Tom's was, as your mom described it, this like abstract, you know, squiggle, set of lines.
That was a bit
not very good.
Yes, it was.
I thought it was pretty good.
I was a big Cy Twombly, fan, and I like that kind of abstract expressionism. Tom liked more illustrative realism.
Well, kind of like Crumb.
So, what struck me about that, Matt, was even as a longtime National fan, I often have trouble parsing your lyrics. Even when you give us the lyrics, they're elliptical. They're abstract. I mean, has that been in your DNA from day one?
That's a good question. I'm not sure. I mean, in terms of lyrics and all that kind of stuff, the people that I love the most are always a little blurry, like Michael Stipe and Morrissey or Tom Waits or Leonard Cohen and Dylan, those guys. They don't connect all the dots, and I always liked that the most. And I always thought the blurrier, if something's a little blurry, it's actually closer to the truth than something that's like a crystal clear idea. I think all of our ideas are a little fuzzy, and I think that's the best way to keep them.
There's a moment in the film where you and Aaron Dessner are rehearsing "I Should Live in Salt," which, is a great turn of phrase. Uh-huh. And, you can kind of get into that song as a listener any number of ways to figure out what that means. We hear a little bit of the rehearsal, and then we hear a little bit of the recording, which rehearsing, you're in a much deeper, kind of your baritone, but on the record, it's much higher.
I jump up an octave.
Let's listen. This is from the film called Mistaken for Strangers.
Can we go through it real quick? Yeah.
Too much time, you should know me better than that. You're not that much like me, you should know me better than that. We have different enemies, you should know me better than that. I should leave it alone, but you're not around. I should leave it.
I Should Live in Salt from The National on Soundcheck. Tom Berninger, the filmmaker. The film is called Mistaken for Strangers. It's out now in select theaters, on demand, and iTunes. Matt Berninger, lead singer of The National, and Tom's older brother, also with me here in the Soundcheck studio. So there isn't a whole lot of the process of rehearsing and performing the songs in the film. What are you guys hoping people get out of this?
Good question.
Well, for me,
Tom just wants a job.
I want to get out of my brother's garage in Venice, California. I'm still editing in there and living. I personally obviously never set out to make a documentary, and especially a documentary about the National, which it kind of is, but it's kind of not. But you do, if you're National fans, you will get a sense of every guy. I mean, they give me great advice, and they give me, I don't necessarily ask them about the process, but I ask them about life lessons and how you deal with criticism and all this kind of stuff. But I think for me, I just hope that there's a lot of people out there kind of going through the same stuff I was going through, like lost sight. I didn't have a voice, and I was like 29, 30, and in between jobs or losing a job, and I'm not alone, and it's really hard out there and people. I think my generation, some people in my generation, just feel like they don't even know they're still searching for themselves. And I hope people see this movie that something came in through the side door. This movie came in through the side door for me. Didn't know this was going to happen, and I embraced it, and I threw everything at it, and I opened myself up and showed all people the ugly, embarrassing stuff. And somehow that works out, and it kind of works out for my brother's band, and it kind of worked out for me.
The band never really, like I said, didn't necessarily want to, or need a portrait of the band sort of thing. But I do think that what Tom ended up making, and I think the other band members would agree, is actually a better portrait of our band than a sort of profile documentary would have been, because if you want to know, you know, about the process of and how, you know, our band started and all that kind of history stuff, and, you know, maybe more of a conventional music documentary about our band, there's plenty of information out there. But this was, I think you'll learn more about just us and
as people.
And as people, and including all the ugliness and the conflict and how hard it is to make stuff and collaborate and to stick with stuff. And so it's much more interesting than just a movie about this about an indie rock band, I think.
The movie is called Mistaken for Strangers by Tom Berninger, featuring his brother Matt Berninger, a lead singer of The National, and the rest of the band. The film is now in select theaters, on demand, and iTunes. And Tom, you mentioned before you hadn't really listened to your brother's band before this. Now, obviously, you have. You have a favorite National song for us to end with?
I have a lot. I'm going to change. Like, I have at least two. I like, well, at least.
I have a lot.
Wow. He likes two of your songs, see, Matt. Well done.
I have a list of two.
You know what? Well, here's the deal.
What are your two?
You kind of played a little bit of it. I Should Live in Seoul. Apparently, that's about me.
It's kind of about you, yes.
It's too bad. It, like, he told me he was writing a song about me, and I listened to it, and I didn't know I Should Live in Seoul is about me. And too bad, because it's really slow and sad. I wish it was more of a rocker.
He thought it was some sort of, like, somebody living in a salt kingdom.
Yeah.
And some salt king or something on a salt throne. That's what he thought it was.
That's a... you don't own the song just because you wrote it, Matt.
There's a song called I Should Live in Salt. It's about the aftermath of Sodom and Gomorrah, and there's a king of the salt of the...
It's not what it's about.
Of the salt world.
That's okay.
Of the salt kingdom.
Yeah.
I'm the king.
Somehow you thought it was about a troll, too.
I have a lot of images. A lot of things going on. This song's about many things.
That's fine.
All right. What's the other song?
Friend of Mine.
That's an old song.
Yeah.
That's okay. That's what we'll end with.
That's a deep cut.
A deep cut from
nice
The National.
Choice.
Yeah.
Tom, Matt, a lot of fun trying to get a word in edgewise here. Thank you guys for coming in and being with us on Soundcheck.
Yeah.
Thank you, Joe.
I'm getting nervous, na 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 na. No sign of a friend of mine. Na 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 na, red hair.
Thanks for listening. Stay connected by subscribing to the Soundcheck podcast on iTunes. Follow us on Twitter and Facebook, and download the new WNYC mobile app for free. See you next time. I'm John Schaefer.